Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
If for those of you that want to give the offering and don't know what a receptacle is, it's a box. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, that is true.
Okay, so for those of you that are curious, the receptacles that are in the foyer, they're boxes.
Well, it actually says offering box,
so
you're right.
Okay, so just making sure. Well, when you said receptacle, I thought, what's a receptacle? So formal around here. My goodness. But we are talking about membership, and that's pretty formal, isn't it? If you are a guest with us, I'm not trying to get you guys to become members today, okay? So just know that I'm not trying to get you guys to become members today. That's not my goal. My goal is to teach on the importance of membership. Why do we even consider this idea of membership? That's our goal, that's our task today. For those of you that have not been with us the last couple of weeks, we are just finishing a series in Habakkuk. And so if many of you are thanking the Lord that you were not here for that, but it was awesome for those of us that were here, for majority of us. And then we are entering into a series in the book of James. And so we will be in the book of James for 11 weeks. That will get us right up to two standalone Sundays. One of them will be our Missions Sunday. That'll be on November 14th. We'll have all of our missionaries in, or at least a good number of them, and I'm looking forward to that. I was doing some writing on that sermon this morning, and I feel just already like I want to preach it, and that's going to be in November. And then the 21st, we have a standalone sermon where one of our elders will be preaching on just God's faithfulness and worship. And then we will enter into our Advent season. And so that will be on the 28th. And then we will have 4 weeks of Advent, and that will conclude our year. And so we're really excited about just kind of putting these benchmarks in place for the remainder of our time. And so today, I actually was scheduled to teach on the subject of anxiety. And so I was planning on doing that. I had already written a sermon, was planning on going forward with that. And our oldest member, we'll leave him nameless. But Mr. Larry Draper caught me in the entryway, and he said, hey, you need to do something. And listen, when the oldest member of the church tells you to do something, you don't question it. You say, yes, sir. And I did. He said, listen, you need to teach on membership. There's a lot of people that are confused about membership. There's a lot of people coming and going, and I just feel like I'm not doing it, and I think you should do it. And I said, yes, sir. And at the time, I said, yes, sir, I'll do it next week. How about that? And I don't think he thought I was really going to do it, but I am. So I really just got a sense from the Lord that it was a good season for our church to walk through this teaching. And so for those of you that are looking for somebody to burn up here up front, I try to burn like a man who is on fire over God's word. This will feel more like a teaching for those of you that are looking for that. And for some of you, you're going to appreciate that. And for others of you, I'll get emails saying that you don't. Love you both. Grateful that you're both here. Now, if you've got a Bible, we are going to be turning to a number of passages. We're going to be going very, very quickly. In fact, I didn't write the passages down. I just marked my Bible so that I could turn to them quickly. For some of you, what might be best is just to write down the passages and look at them later, because it will feel like a sword drill. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with that, I was. That is where you are in church and they have these competitions with these little Christian kids where they say, you find this passage really quickly, or you find this passage really quickly. And I always disliked those moments greatly because I wasn't raised in church. And so when they'd say, hey, you got to find, you know, Obadiah, I'd look at them and say, you got to be kidding me. Who could possibly find Obadiah? And I'm telling you, little Susie Joe next to me would be like, I've got it. Which book? Or, you know, which passage? And I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. Obadiah. So it's going to feel like a sword drill for a lot of you. And so I don't want that. I don't want it to feel like a sword drill. And so for those of you that just want to follow along, follow along. But where we're going to start is we're going to start here in 1 Timothy 5. We're going to start there. Let me pray for our time, and then let's enter into our time. Let's pray. Father, we pray that today you would be honored by what's going to be preached, what's going to be taught today. Would you help me to communicate effectively? We pray, Father, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our minds, that you would open our hearts to what your Spirit has to say to us today. We ask that your word would be the foundation that we derive and talk through this idea and this concept of membership. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you do the work that I cannot do, that you would not allow this to be leading people into frustration or shame. The idea that a wife look at a husband or a husband look at a wife and say, see, we should have been members. Would you keep this from being a moment of guilt or shame? And may it be from a place of freedom that we learn this idea and concept of membership. I pray that if there is any conviction, that it be alone from your Spirit and not from persuasive words or arms being twisted by friends or spouses or whomever it might be. We pray that you can do that. We know that you can do that, so we ask that you would do that. We pray and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we also, Father, ask that you would be near the believers today in Afghanistan. Father, we ask, even as I'm concluding my prayer, I just hear you say, what are you doing and not praying for those men and women who are scattering to the hills even now? And so, Father, as a church, we pray blessing upon them. We ask that you would grant them great mercy, those believers now that are so many of them running to the hills to evade capture, torture, or death. Father, we pray that you would give them extraordinary wisdom. We pray that you would give them a way of escape. And for those that cannot find one, for those that are not granted one, we pray that you would grant them unbelievable courage. May we observe and pray and wait to see you give justice. And so, Father, we know that you are a God of justice. You're a good Father. We trust you. And so be with just the women, the children there in Afghanistan. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So the question is, why membership? So why should we care about membership? In fact, I was just at an AT&T store. And as I was at the AT&T store, I was trying to up some of our data, right? Because I've got four children and one of them's 14. So I have to have more data. I think you understand where my place in life here, friends. And so here I am at an AT&T store. I'm trying to figure out. And as I'm there, she says, well, for you to update your status, for you to update what you're doing, I just need you to sign all of these different screens. And so I was like, okay, great, no big deal. And literally, I scrolled through what was seemingly dozens and dozens and dozens of type that was so little. I have no idea what I signed. And I just put my name next to it, just committed to it. We just moved here from Highland Village, and so we're here now just a couple of miles away. And here, as I'm going to buy this house, I was met with, by my mortgage company, the title office, a stack of paper this thick, and we were given those papers so quickly, I'm just signing as fast as I can. To what I was signing? I don't know. You have no idea. Can it come back to hurt me? I'm pretty sure it can. But I have no idea what I signed. Unbelievable amounts of commitment, and I didn't even read it. Didn't even read it. In fact, it's important. It's super important. You know how important it is? It's my house. It's where I live. But man, I just signed right away. Just kept signing as quickly as I could. And then she said, hey, would you like a copy? I was like, no, just keep it. You know why? I'm not going to read it anyway. So what am I going to do? Just keep paper in my closet? For what? I'm not going to read it. I'm just hoping it all works out. And here's the thing. You did the same thing. Here you are judging me that I didn't even look at what I signed. And every single one of you, including those of you on your high horse, did the exact same thing. I don't feel judged by you at all. We are so funny about commitment. In fact, how often do people lure us in and say, hey, no contract required. Ooh, let's go there. I don't have to commit to them there. That's the people I want to hang out with. How often do we want to be a part of something where we can just, as quickly as we want, bail? This is the culture we live in. We want so badly to go month to month without having to commit to the year after year. Now, I know what you might be saying. Some of you in here say, no, I actually like commitment. You have just outed how old you are. No, I like commitment. I would sign a 5-year contract. I can tell you exactly how old you are right now. And if you're in here now and you're like, no, I'm cool with just month to month, no commitment. I'd like to have some options because you never know. I might want to just bail and go here. Then you are outing your age too. This is how we exist in culture. And friends, it is all in the water. In fact, COVID has done nothing but just accelerate this idea of people not wanting to commit to this or to that. And what I'm trying to do today is to compel you, for you to see that membership doesn't just have its benefits, though I do believe it does, is that membership is a biblical direction to go. And so I'm going to start with five different directions on why I think membership should be considered. Why membership? I'm giving you five answers to that question. The first is this. We see in the scriptures, and we see here in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 5, we see that there is a list that's being developed here. And so Paul is writing a letter, and we see here in 1 Timothy 5, beginning in verse 3, honor the widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first show godliness to their own household to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She, who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she, who is self-indulgent, is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially the members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is even worse than an unbeliever. Then notice verse 9. Let the widow be enrolled. Let the widow be enrolled into what? Like, what are we enrolling this precious widow into if it's not be a list, right? So what widows then do we begin to care for, right? So as a pastor, as an elder here at the church, when you read this and we want to follow this direction, we say, okay, great, widows should be enrolled. And here are the reasons why they should be enrolled. Here's the stipulations that a widow should be considered into the fold here in the church. But if we're enrolling widows, who are we enrolling widows into? Like, what are we putting them into, if not, if you will, the membership of a church? And as you begin to continue to go down, I can make the case from Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible commends to us to be watchful over those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. You get this sense from the text that you say, hey, watch out for these folks. Which folks? The list of folks. Well, what does this list have on it? Wolves with sheep's clothing. We see here in 2 Timothy 4, we see that you've got to be careful. There'll be a season, there'll be a future where people's ears are going to want to be tickled, that they will gather for themselves teachers that foster their own desires. I can show you Colossians 2:8, where people will desire false teaching. Well, what teaching? Who's teaching? Like, there's teaching everywhere, but who's teaching and who's watching out for the teaching? In fact, I can continue to go forward. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. You are over those that are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Is the Bible here saying in 1 Thessalonians, be patient with all, as it is saying, those that are idle? Friends, I was just at a hospital this morning. I was just at a hospital, and when I walked down the corridors, I passed 20 rooms to get to a room where there was a person associated with Lighthouse Church. And as I passed each of those rooms this morning, I literally walked in and there was a person in a bed. And I was like, man, Lord, bless them. May there be a community for them. May there be a pastor for them. Lord, bless them. May there be a community for them. May there be a pastor for them. And I'd go to the next set of rooms. Lord, bless this person who's alone, who is in their bed by themselves, nobody around. And I just, as I walked past, I literally just saw myself just saying, Lord, would you grant them a people to protect and care for them? Would you grant them shepherds to care and protect for them? And I literally turned the corner and walked into the member's room. And as soon as I walked in, the nurse caught me and said, oh, excuse me, is this your wife? And I said, it is not my wife. She is a person that I love as her pastor. And he said, well, yes, sir, you get in there and you love that member of yours. And I sat there and blessed her. Hear me, friends. Hear me. Who are we talking about in these lists? The list of the widows, the list of the false teachers, right? What kind of list is there if there is not first the understanding that there is a list of those who are in a local context? Brothers, admonish the idle. Which idle? Encourage the faint-hearted. Which faint-hearted? We can continue. If you look here, turn, if you will, to Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. The Bible says this. Obey your leaders and to submit to them. Which leaders? Do you know how many odd and strange and unbiblical teachings there are that are everywhere? Friends, be so careful who you submit your lives to. Be so careful who you place your care under. Because the Bible says, here, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Those who will have to give an account. Of whom? If not a list of members. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, that it would be no advantage to you. Well, who is you? The person under their care. Turn with me, if you will, to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you. The picture here, for those of you that have been to Israel and you've watched the Bedouin shepherds, if you watch this, it's the numbers of sheep to shepherds are always about the same. It's quite fascinating, really. I was talking with Mishi, our guide who was there, and as I was asking him, I was like, hey, what's the general consensus? Like, how many shepherds to sheep? He's like, well, it really depends. It depends on the field, and it depends on the context. It depends on the season. I was like, but give me a general number. And he said, well, it's really simple. In fact, he would always say, it's not so simple, but it's simple. He would always say that phrase, to which I would say, you make no sense. Continue. And he would say, well, it depends. What is the capacity of the shepherd? Like, some shepherds are so good, if they're young and vibrant, they can have lots and lots of sheep, and it's really easy. And the sheep know his voice, and he can snap his fingers, and those sheep start to follow that shepherd. Is there ever a point where the sheep don't know the shepherd? He's like, there's never a point. That would be too dangerous. I was like, tell me about the danger. So the context of this passage, in fact, when written, like, the view that's in front of them is a shepherd who is caring for and watching the sheep. And in the context that remains and continues today is that the shepherd is watching the sheep. And as the sheep begin to wander, if there's a sheep that is in that leaves the 99, the shepherd goes to the one. Why? Because the sheep have value. And as he was talking and communicating, I'm watching these Bedouin shepherds while I'm looking out the window of the bus, and I'm just watching these men literally just like whistle or to snap their fingers or whatever it might be, and you can just watch these sheep go with this shepherd. It's clear. It's marked out. The joke is that the sheep don't smell like the shepherd. The joke is that the shepherd smells like his sheep. There's a closeness. There's a clear line of demarcation. I asked the follow-up question. I see lots of shepherds and I see lots of sheep. Why are they all grazing together? And literally, Mishi said this. I love it. I'll never forget it. He said, yes, but that's because they're just hanging out together. All you have to do is start whistling and all of them separate like perfect lines of demarcation. I was like, why? Because it's easy to follow when there's protection together. I could continue 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We talk about this idea of, but why not just hang out in a Christian community? Why not just hang out with one another? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Have you ever hung out with people that are different than you? How long do you hang out with those people? Not very long. Not very long. In fact, often I have observed that hands love to hang out with hands, and feet love to hang out with feet. We're about to read the passage. It'll make more sense. People who are really into prophecy love to hang out with people who are prophetic. People who are really into administration really like to hang out with other people in administration, and they don't like hanging out with me. People who love missions love to hang out with people in missions. I mean, the gifts of God, the gifts given to his church, people like to hang out with those people. And the word says that the body needs them all. The Bible says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, "For just as one body is made of many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, and I do not belong to the body,' that it would not make it any less a part of the body." Verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is," verse 16, "God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor can the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. To our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty." Verse 24. "Which are more presentable parts do not require, but God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that these may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together, and if one member is honored, all rejoice together." And the argument against this is, yes, but isn't that just the way it is as Christians? Like, hey, we're all Christians, we all kind of hang out together, except the context in verse 27 is the church. "Now you are in the body of Christ, individual members of it, and God has appointed the church." And so if it be true that God has called us together as the church, then praise God that there are people here I would not normally hang out with, because God's word says it's good. There's a type of person I like to hang out with. There's a type of person that I typically don't hang out with. But that's not the case in the body of Christ. Why? Because presented here are hands and eyes and ears. There are those who have these gifts and these gifts and these gifts. And often if we get ourselves away from the church, what happens is we end up congregating with those that look just like us. They look just like us. How do I know? Go to a car show. You ever been to one? It's hilarious. All the guys that have red Mustangs, they all hang out together. They love their red Mustangs. And I'm not even bagging on red Mustangs. We like to be with people who like the things we like. Do not even get me started talking to people. You know, don't even get me started if you start talking about hunting. We won't stop talking. But you start talking about pretty much anything else. No, that's not a joke. There's a few other things. Here's a few other things. The church forces our hand to consider the uniqueness of the body. And joining and being a part of and being members in a local body forces us to spend time with folks that we might not spend time with. It's so easy for us to get away from those things. The whole world is set up for it to be just about us. right? We live in the neighborhoods we want to live in. We go to the schools that we want to go to. We go to the restaurants that we want to go to. It's so easy for us to self-select all the different directions that we want to go. But God has it that when you member one another, a church, that, man, there are people that do not look like, there are people that do not act like, and there are people that do not have the gifts that you have. And it is the plan of God. How else can you possibly do a one another passage? Be patient with one another. You know who I'm never having to be patient with? My friends. Why? Because we're basically the same person. You know how many times I have to be patient with the members of this church? Daily. Why? Because we're different. Consider the interests of others. Love one another. Bear the burdens of one another. It's like the one another's are expressed in the context of a local church. This is the plan of God. Now you might say, yes, but does it have to be a building? No. Friends, we are going into exile. We're about to vacate this building and go to another building. We're going to do that in the future. We're not doing that next week. Do not be afraid. That will happen in the future. I promise you that I am not here saying that it's got to be in a local building context. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about it has to be in a building or it has to look a certain way. I'm saying, but there is something to be said about a generation that does not want to be restrained by something. I wrote in my notes, it's like a basketball player who wants to play, who doesn't want to put on the jersey. It's like a man or a woman who wants to be married with all of its benefits without the commitment. And so like the age that we live in is, I mean, I love that place there because the worship's great. Or I love that place there because the teaching is good. Or I like that place because they have the single greatest student ministry in the entire world. They've got a slide inside three stories. That's not here. In fact, one of our elders made the joke in the middle of an elder meeting. I don't know if I appreciate it yet. But he said, you know, Jason, it's almost like we have not much to give here except for Jesus. And I was like, thanks a lot. But that's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate. God's grace. Be warm and filled. You're welcome. That should be our tagline. Lighthouse Church. Not much to give, but Jesus. Kind of into it. Has a nice little ring to it, don't you think? Although, a three-story slide would be amazing. It would be. It would be. It really would be. Wouldn't it be awesome, Lawson? Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Sorry, bud. I pray that we would be a church of members who commit to one another, like a family commits to one another, like a marriage commits to one another, like a people commit to one another, where familially we can bear the burdens of the other, that we can resource the other. In fact, some of the sweetest times of this church are watching some of our oldest widows care for our youngest widows. Some of the most beautiful moments in this church are watching some of the oldest men hug and love and care for some of our youngest men. To watch some of the fathers of the house care for some of the men of the house who have been fatherless for years. I could lose my mind talking about how God puts together the older man who longs for a son and the younger man who longs for a father and the older widow who can instruct the younger and the older parents who can care for the younger parents and the younger parents who can do nothing but just keep their children alive. That's why the Bible says older women disciple younger women, and it doesn't say anything to younger women. It just says, handle your business. Keep your children alive. You're going to be fine. Why membership? Why membership is because it is the plan of God for his kingdom's advancement. The advancement of the kingdom of God is through the local church. And what we see in culture today is that we will go to every which place like we're walking into a buffet saying, man, I want a little bit of this, 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 and that's the food I'm going to eat, instead of committing to a restaurant and saying, hey, this is the restaurant. We desire the buffet because at a buffet, you can get the best of all the little things. And friends, I'm going to tell you right now, in this area alone, you can find unbelievable things. Like I looked up websites just locally and be like, and I was going to make a list of all the things that you can have if you weren't here. And then I thought, this is probably the worst idea ever because some of them looked really awesome. So the hope is that it wouldn't even necessarily be Lighthouse Church. The hope is that there would be a place, a people, that you today would say, hey, I commit to following Christ, to learning from his word with this group of people, which means that when the hand hurts, then the body cares for the hand. And friends, let me tell you something. Some of the most beautiful things of this church. I just got through teaching a class on discipleship to some of our leaders. And one of my favorite moments of this church was when people that are not associated with this church, when tragedy struck a family here at this church, when I would have random people in the community say, my goodness, you guys love your people. What in the world? And have family members who are literally states away call and say, what is happening? Like, I'm trying to find things to do, but the church is taking care of it. What is happening? May the Lord hear. May the Lord continue to deepen the quality of our care. May the Lord continue to deepen the quality of the teaching. May we continue to deepen the understanding of the person of Jesus Christ and let the Lord take care of the breadth. Who cares about that? Your pastor doesn't care about that. I care that people here are being discipled. I care that people here are being cared for. May it never be that somebody's in a hospital and they're not inundated with people. Food everywhere. In fact, I'm on an email chain right now of one of our home groups. It's the craziest email chain you've ever seen. I'm supposed to meet with this home group on the 26th, and the emails are unbelievable. It's like 40 different emails deciding on the best queso. These people love each other through food. Yes, praise God. One of the greatest stories that I have remembered throughout my young life, 44 years old, one of my favorite stories is a fellow named Jerry. Jerry was making some terrible decisions. Nobody wants to preach Matthew chapter 18. It's a passage, if you're not familiar with it, it's a passage where if your brother's in sin, go and tell him your fault. If he doesn't listen, then take another with him. And if he doesn't listen, tell it to the church. It's been used in church discipline. And I know in today's world, nobody wants to be disciplined. Nobody wants any of those kind of things. I have experienced Matthew chapter 18 in unbelievable ways. It's been beautiful. One of my heroes in the faith, a guy named Jerry, was making some terrible decisions and making some foolish choices on his wife. They were not illegal. They could not call the police on him. He was not needing to be restrained like he needed to go to jail. No, but he was being unfaithful. He was being immoral. And the church engaged him. The state's not going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. What he was doing didn't rise to the level of illegality. It was just immoral, and it was horrible to his wife. And there were men, I can name them, first and last name, I will not, but they engaged him. They literally opened the door to a hotel room, and without getting into the details because of little ears in the audience, I'll say this, they engaged him, dismissed his friend, and said, go home to your wife. And man, he was angry. They pushed back. He was frustrated. They loved him. And the greatest disciple maker, one of my dearest older men that I loved, I lived with for years, was brought back through the reproof of godly men because he was a member at that church. And so it's impossible to illustrate all the different ways that the human heart can go. It's impossible to describe all the different deceitfulness. Hebrews chapter 3 says that the deceitfulness of sin, it just can go every which way. One of the greatest areas of care for a heart that can grow deceitful is faithful men and women around deceitful hearts in communal care. Hey, how are you acting? Hey, what are you doing? Had a precious conversation with a precious member this morning. Hey, what are you doing? This is unsustainable. And where else are you going to get that but a church? Where else are you going to get that unless committing to a church? But in today's world, friends, What we want is what the scriptures talk is to collect for ourselves people to tickle our ears and to help us and right and to give to our desires of teachings that suit all of our needs. And so here's how I'm praying. And so maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, great, I'm a member. I get it. Whoa, geez, that's a lot. I'm a member, okay? Praise God. So my hope is that you're seeing an expression of what you're being a member towards. So maybe you say, okay, look, man, I'm here all the time. I give you money. Isn't that kind of all you want? Just seats and cash. It's like, no, I want us to commit together. I want us to commit together. Seats are fine. Cash is fine. But let me tell you something. In today's world, we are entering a season in today's world where it's going to cost us as Christians. It's just going to. You already begin to see it brewing. It'll be so much easier to begin to say, oh, yo, no, not me. That's not me, right? And so what I'm saying is there's a day coming. There's a day that is approaching. There's a day that is near that membership of a local church is a community that bands together, that begins to say, here is our teaching, here is our confession, here is our people, this is the direction we're going by God's grace. We will bury some. We will see some married. We will see some baptized. We will see some disciplined. We will see many taught. We'll see many sent out. And that happens in the context of a local church. So here's my hope. So if this teaching doesn't compel you, it's all I got. There's nothing left. Like I don't have like a, oh, you just wait. I got teaching session number 2 coming. Nope, gave you everything I had. Everything that I had was right there. And my hope to compel you that membership matters. So every Thursday morning, actually Tuesday for the staff, and every Thursday morning, the staff and then the elders pray through the membership directory. And so it's been such a privilege to just see, and it's a pictorial directory, right? So I see people's faces. In fact, it's so fun because so some of you haven't updated your picture in a while, and some of you look very young, and you're not so young anymore. But as I look at the faces, and I see the names of the children next to them, and we begin to just pray and ask God to bless them. It is a privilege to pray for you as a family. It is a privilege to see names there. It was a privilege to go to the hospital this morning. Like, I wait for that. I was like, oh, we'll see how fast a person can be visited in the hospital around here. Praise God. My hope is that that is the type of community that you, the attender, want to join. My hope is that you, as an attender, that's the kind of community that you say, hey, listen, by God's grace, I'm gonna put my yes down in membership. In fact, we get to celebrate 11 new members by God's grace here on the 29th. I can't wait to begin to put them before you and say, hey, look more to our family. Praise God. And then to have their names populated on our prayer list so that when I see their names, I'll say, man, this is the first time that we've prayed for this family. Praise God. I cannot wait to pray for them and to begin to pray for them regularly. Friends, let's pray together. Band, if you want to come up, let's pray and land this plane on membership.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.